Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Get ready for the K-pop invasion.
Girls' Generation.
Whoa!
Before you're looking at me, I know what you see.
I'm John Schaefer, and coming up on Soundcheck, David Letterman introduced American TV viewers last week to the South Korean pop phenomenon called Girls' Generation. Today, our occasional series, Genre Patrol, examines the wave of so-called K-pop here in the U.S., and the new Billboard chart that it's inspired.
Time means so much if all I hear is your sweet touch.
You won't find this Bahamas down south. Instead, head north to Toronto. Bahamas is the stage name of the Canadian musician Afi Yurvinen, whose debut album was nominated for two of his country's biggest music awards. He joins us to play live. All of that, plus new music in our series Pick 3, on Soundcheck after the news. Soundcheck's Genre Patrol is walking the beat again. I'm John Schaefer, and later on the show, the Canadian musician known as Bahamas cruises through our studio for a live performance. And we'll hear three new releases in our Pick 3 feature, but we're starting with our occasional Genre Patrol series. And today, looking at the very young, very profitable genre of K-pop. That's Korean pop, and one of the biggest groups in the genre made their U.S. TV debut just last week, a group called Girls' Generation. Joining us to take a look at this genre, which is huge in Korea and angling now for global pop domination, is the writer and editor David Cho, who joins us from L.A. David, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. So K-pop is apparently huge in Korea, big in Japan, growing in Latin America and Europe. We're starting to see it here. And the striking thing to me watching this Girls' Generation group on Letterman last week was, well, one of the striking things is it's all in English. Is this how it happens back home in South Korea?
There's more English than you would think, because most choruses like have an English line here and there. But obviously for the Letterman and for the American debuts, they're doing all the songs in English, which I think they think is a necessity.
Mm-hmm. And what did you think? I mean, watching them, I understand you were a little nervous watching Girls' Generation on national TV.
Yeah, I don't have kids, but I imagine that's what it's like watching your kids perform in front of a really big audience. And I was just sort of like, I hope they don't mess up and embarrass themselves for all Korean people everywhere. Mm. But I think they did a great job. And there's like really funny pictures of them with Bill Murray backstage, because Nine Girls Anywhere is really funny with Bill Murray.
Bill Murray and Regis Philbin were on with Letterman, and when he introduced them, you could hear Regis Philbin going, wow! I guess he was impressed. Listeners can go to the Soundcheck page. You can see that performance by this group, Girls' Generation, and a song called The Boys on the David Letterman Late Night TV show. What about the kind of, you know, it's a bunch of young Korean women. Actually, some of Girls' Generation are Korean-American, right?
Yeah, two of them were born in the States.
Is that like a deep, dark secret, or is that sort of common knowledge?
Oh, no, I think when the genre of Korean pop music first started, the part of the formula for each group was to have at least one quote-unquote American member. And as the years, like that was probably in 97, and as the years have gone on, now those members have become actually American instead of sort of kids who lived in America for 2 or 3 years, which had previously happened.
Okay, so I was wondering about that. How much of this, David, is kind of aspirational music on the part of the producers, you know, trying to make these teenagers and perhaps by extension their fans feel American?
I think there were always sort of, Korean popular culture has always been influenced, especially music, by Western culture. I mean, if you look in like kind of the early aughts, you see groups that were sort of, or artists that were sort of modeled after Justin Timberlake or Usher or things like that. And I mean, they've openly admitted to that. But I think in the last maybe 5 or 6 years, it's really kind of figured out its own lane. And I think that's why it's succeeded in Japan in a lot of ways, is because, you know, Korean groups have sort of figured out their own sound and figured out their own approach. And now you see that kind of being replicated in Singapore or or Vietnam or places like that with sort of smaller music industries. And it's interesting to see something that previously was a derivation of other things sort of being, you know, kind of replicated in other countries.
Well, we're looking at the phenomenon known as K-pop, Korean pop. And in 2009, this band, Girls' Generation, released a song called G, which set all kind of chart records in Korea and went to number one in Japan, too. That is the K-pop Girls' Generation, the K-pop group from South Korea. And G is the name of this hit song from 2009. We're speaking with David Cho, who writes for the pop culture commentary site Grantland. And you can find a list of his top five K-pop acts with a link to video on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck. I mentioned a moment ago, David, that this song by Girls' Generation set chart records in Korea. There is now a Billboard chart for K-pop. It's about 6 months old. What's on it besides this group?
I think you'll find in Korean pop music that it typically breaks down to like three sort of subcategories. I think you have the girl groups and boy groups and sort of like what they call idol music, which is sort of what we would call teen music, but in Korea is just sort of accepted as the mainstream music.
So there is a Korean version of American Idol.
The Korean version of The Voice just launched. The actual licensed version of The Voice launched this past week. And then there's another show called K-Pop Star, which is really, really big right now as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the singing competition shows have taken off. Go ahead. No, so there are these idol groups. There's also these sort of a genre of ballad music as well as sort of Korean hip-hop or rap or whatever you'd call it.
Mm-hmm. And do Koreans actually use the term K-pop, this sort of anglicized term to describe this music?
No, there's a Korean word for it called kayo, which is sort of the translated sort of Korean music. And K-pop is sort of what people in Japan are using to describe the music
mm-hmm.
genre, and I guess America now as well.
Now, I mean, watching some of these videos, a lot of the bands, especially the girl bands, I mean, it strikes me, David, as kind of, you know, like the Pussycat Dolls here in the States a few years ago, where they're sort of, you know, as much about the look as the sound. Now, these are, you know, they're by and large teenage, you know, they're young adults, both the girl groups and the boy groups. How is this seen in, you know, what is still in part a pretty traditional country there in South Korea?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you compare it to American culture, it's not nearly as racy as sort of the stuff that's happening here. But, you know, in Korea, I think it's always pushing the boundaries. You know, 10 years ago, or I guess 15 years ago, these groups weren't allowed to have dyed hair because a lot of them were high school students, and Korean students in high school can't have dyed hair in schools, and they have to keep it a certain length. So, like, they first started with like hair length and things like that and hair color, and I mean it's only like progressed. And I think as the culture itself becomes more sort of aware of things that are happening in Western culture, maybe more progressive cultures, the sort of reins have been loosened a lot.
All right,
but I think that's sort of progression.
So tell us, you know, about some of the biggest groups in the K-pop scene. I mean, let's start with this 2NE1. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
And what? Who or what is 2NE1?
So this is a group. So in Korea, there are maybe three of the biggest agencies, and they come from one of them. It's called the agency is called YG Entertainment. And these are four girls, one of which is from America, another one from the Philippines, all Koreans, but you know, raised in these cultures, and then two girls who are from Korea. And they sort of have this sort of, I guess, closer to hip hop ish sound. There's like two rappers. They're two main vocalists. And the sound's sort of what's popular in Korea right now, which is just like very like electronic-y, dancey music.
Okay, and this song from To Anyone is called I Am the Best.
Oh my God. 누가 봐도 내가 좀 죽여주잖아. Right. 둘째 가라면 이 몸이 서럽잖아. Right. 넌 뒤를 따라오지만 난 앞만 보고 질주해. 네가 앉은 테이블 위를 뛰어다녀 I don't care.
건드리면 감당 못해. I'm hot, 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 hot fire. 뒤집어지기 전에 제발 누가
I am the best. From the band called To Anyone, another example of K-pop hugely popular in South Korea and now aiming for global domination. Our genre patrol look at K-pop also brings us this piece produced by the noted Diplo, but the band is called GD and Top. The song is Knockout.
This is double double, double double, combo, double double, double combo. This ain't bubble bubble, bubble bubble.
길거리를 걸어다니는 저 아가씨들 남자 녀석들도 외쳐대는 나의 이름 The Rebel 대한민국 기호 식품 나를 따라하는 젊은이들 알쏭달쏭
GD and Top, the name of this band. Knockout is their song, produced by the DJ and producer Diplo. And then there's Tara, who currently has number two Tiara, number two on the Billboard K-pop chart with this song, Lovey Dovey. That's Tiara, currently at number two on Billboard's K-pop chart with Lovey Dovey. David Cho, all these names, I Am the Best, Knockout, Lovey Dovey, at least the verses of the songs are all sung in Korean. Are the titles actually in English, or are these just translations of what people in South Korea would hear?
Lovey Dovey is actually, they're singing Lovey Dovey in that last one, if you can't. It's in a sort of Koreanized way, but that's what they're saying. The other two have been translated, though.
And this last song, this Lovey Dovey, this is part of a big dance trend there now.
Yeah, it's part of this thing called shuffling, which I guess is originally started by the group LMFAO here. It's sort of taken off in Asia. I know it's big in Japan as well, but shuffling is really big in Korea. So if you Google this Tiara song and you see them do the performances on shows or anything like that, it's just like sort of running in place, running man sort of thing. That's really funny to watch if you have no context for it at all.
Now, one of our listeners, Joe here in New York, asks, is this pretty much just a knockoff of J-pop, which is, of course, the Japanese pop music?
No, I think it's probably more influenced by Western pop music. I think that's the reason why you've seen sort of some of the groups who have stayed more true to their Korean-ness succeed in the Japanese market. The ones that have made it there sort of stick with what is uniquely Korean about them, and that's what sort of separates them from J-pop or Japanese pop music.
All right, now I want to go back to a couple of things you said. First of all, when you were talking about To Anyone, you said that they came from one of the big music sort of production companies. How manufactured is this stuff? Is this big business?
It's definitely big business because I think all three of those companies now are publicly traded companies on the Korean Stock Exchange. So there's definitely obviously a lot of money to be made there. And that's why most of these groups are advancing into Japan as well, because I think Japan has the second largest music market outside of America as far as revenue goes. And, like how manufactured is it? I mean, it's hard to say. I think they're definitely polished, and you see these groups sort of practice for years and years and years. You know, a lot of these groups, a lot of these people in these groups will be, you know, trainees within the agencies for up to 5, 7, 10 years before mm-hmm. they debut. So it's like, you know, you start when you're 10, and when you're 20, you come out and you're a very polished machine. But I think along that way, they also try to give them real music training. And I think as Korean music has like sort of become more of a unique thing outside of, you know, being a copy of Western music, I think they've sort of tried to figure out a way to make them more original.
Now, where does K-pop come from? I mean, its origins go back surprisingly far, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at like kind of Korean traditional music at its very beginning, it started with this genre called trot music, which is sort of what, you know, my parents or my parents' parents are really into even to this day. And if you go to sort of like karaoke houses in Korea, you hear kind of old people, or not old people, like, you know, people in their 50 or 60 years old, like singing these songs at these weird karaoke places. And you also see like sort of on more adult or like, you know, shows oriented to people in that age group, mm-hmm. you know, people sing these songs.
So if we go all the way back, for example, to 1938, and this trot artist named Park Young-rim, this is an example of one of the roots of today's K-pop. A song from 1938 in this older Korean pop style known as trot, T-R-O-T. Park Young-rim is the artist there. David Cho is with us, editor and writer for the pop culture commentary site Grantland. He's on the line with us from L.A. So, David, your parents or grandparents would sort of know that song and be familiar with that whole genre?
Yeah, it's a pretty famous one. Interestingly enough, like, the lyrical content is very similar to Korean music now, because that was just a song about a woman who doesn't trust her boyfriend, and she's just like being like, why do you go out and do all these things while I'm at home?
More things change, more things stay the same. If we skip ahead to 1980, there's a ballad by Cho Young-pil called Woman Outside the Window. Is this still in that trot lineage?
Yeah, I mean, when you hear it, you'll hear sort of the kind of progression from it. But I think it's very much in line with sort of what trot music still is. And it also like plays on sort of the ballad genre that starts to, you know, come up around that time as well.
Okay, but this is going back to 1980 and Cho Young-pil. From 1980, Cho Young-pil and Woman Outside the Window, another big pop hit in this long-standing ballad tradition that David Cho has been telling us about. Now, David, the K-pop stuff we've been examining so far has been very up-tempo, very dance-oriented. Do these K-pop stars still sing ballads?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think every album always has at least one or two ballad songs on it, and a lot of times you'll see sort of, you know, the ballads aren't performed as much because they're not as good to see live, and, you know, a lot of these groups obviously target younger demos. But the ballads are what tend to be more popular, like, on the live streaming sites. So, like, in Korea, there's a lot of sites you can go to stream music, and it shows live rankings of what's popular. And what tends to be popular there are these ballads, especially within, like, kids who are, you know, college age or maybe, you know, young adults.
So is this the kind of thing you would hear on Superstar K, the Korean version of American Idol?
Superstar K has a lot of different types because it has people who are more singer-songwriter types to what we're more probably accustomed to here in America, as well as there's a few groups who are more boy bandish and sort of the way they're developed. But you hear sort of a broader range on Superstar K of things that are like indie music or think the ballads or whatever. Obviously, ballads work well for audition programs as well.
And in Korea, David, what is the? I mean, I know K-pop is really, really popular, but within the music community, do people sort of look down their noses at it, or is it seen as like the next big way of exporting something genuinely Korean to the rest of the world? How is it viewed?
It's definitely not looked down upon the same way. Like if you're a 35-year-old guy and you're like, oh, I'm really into Kesha, you know, that wouldn't be something that would be really well received here, I don't think, unless you have a very open group of friends. It's pretty understood that, like, you know, if you're Korean, you listen to Korean pop music. I think, you know, Korean people as a whole are very proud of their culture and are always excited when things are, are popular abroad. So, you know, there's that nationalism that plays in, and I think they support all these things. If you look on, like, voting programs, like, you know, there's a Korean pop artist who was voted in as, like, Time's most important person ever, like, for the last 2 years or something, because it's online voting based, and Korean people like to vote online.
Now, it's been hugely successful in South Korea. Billboard has a whole chart devoted to K-pop. Big in Japan and, you know, taking off in Latin America. What do you think? What's your prediction for K-pop's chances here in the United States?
It's hard to say. I think, you know, there have probably been four major acts in Korea that have tried to break in America. Most recently, I guess 2 or 3 years ago, there's a girl who's really big in Japan as well, big in Korea, named BoA, who tried to make it here, who is part of the same agency as Girls' Generation. I think now we're kind of coming to a place where, you know, because of the internet, because of, you know, YouTube or Facebook or whatever, more people globally have, access to kind of things that they wouldn't have had access to before. But also, I think in America, you see kind of music as a whole become more segmented and become more niche with sort of what people are into. And there are these pockets of super fans that can be cultivated online. And I think, you know, will Korean artists probably be as big as like a Justin Bieber or something like that, where it's sort of really ubiquitous? Probably not. But I think there's probably a level of success that Korean people would be happy with that they can probably find. And I think you're seeing that, you know, even like kind of with the way media is reporting K-pop as is.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, on national TV shows, we mentioned Letterman, but there are others as well just in the last week or two. Again, you can watch the Girls' Generation performance on The Letterman Show last week on our webpage, WNYC.org. The latest single from Wonder Girls in the background called The DJ Is Mine. David Cho, editor and writer at the pop culture commentary site Grantland, has been with us on the line. David, nice speaking with you.
Thanks so much.
This is Soundcheck. Up next, three must-hear new releases in our weekly Pick 3 feature. And then later, the Canadian musician known as Bahamas cruises through our studio for a live performance coming up on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and in today's Pick 3, you won't hear any K-pop, but you will get some blues and some rock and roll. Joining us by phone from Dallas, Texas, is Jeannie Mascoro, morning host and music coordinator for the alternative music public radio station KXT. Jeannie, welcome to Soundcheck.
Well, thank you so much, John. It's an honor to be here. Hello, New York.
So you've actually been, looks like you've been looking far afield for your Pick 3, starting off with someone named B. Biman.
Oh, he is just absolutely wonderful. He's a second-generation Sri Lankan-American. He was raised in St. Louis, kind of on Nirvana and Soundgarden, then he moved his base to San Francisco. And he has a brand-new self-titled album out on 30 Tigers. His second album, just called Beeman, and ever since I put this CD on, I've just been kind of, you know, stopped dead in my tracks. It's just, it's a thing of beauty, especially the opening track, Gutter Snipe.
What do you like about that?
There's just this sort of this simplicity, but it's very subtle and it's very beautiful and crystal clear. It's him and four other guys, and there's a lot about the song that's very, it reminds me a little bit of an old spiritual. There's almost something very Appalachian about it.
There's I mean, it's got a pretty standard chord progression with perhaps one exception. Here's the song Gutter Snipe by B. Beeman.
I jumped the first train I saw, it'll surely take me home. If I had a mama, at least I'd have a place to go. But I'm just a gutter snipe, I got no place to wipe my nose. I jumped the first train I saw, it'll surely take me home. A buzzard riding the rain.
Gutter Snipe is the song from B. Beeman. I should probably spell that. It's B-H-I-M-A-N. Beeman is both his last name and the name of his record. The first of Jeannie Mascoro's pick threes for us on Soundcheck today. She's on the line with us from KXT in northern Texas. And so he's a second-generation Sri Lankan-American based in San Francisco who seems to have picked up a little bit of the vibe of early Allman Brothers, you know, Southern blues and stuff.
A little bit of John Prine,
yeah.
Woody Guthrie. He gets a lot of comparisons to Woody Guthrie.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just, he has this soulfulness about him. And about that song, I mean, there's a touch of sadness about it, but at the end, it's a song of hope. It's just absolutely beautiful, and the rest of the album is just, whew.
All right.
It's great. And if you ever get the chance to check out the video of Gutter Snipe on Vimeo, it's well worth your time.
All right, so that's a pick both for the song and the video from Jeannie Mascoro. Let's move on to number two here on your list, and, you know, speaking of Americana, Heartless Bastards, a couple of years ago, sort of got put in that box, but this new record, something a little different, it sounds like.
It is totally different from the other three albums. They did switch labels. They went from Fat Possum, I think, over to Partisan. And this brand new album was produced by Jim Eno of Spoon.
Mm.
And they moved their base from Ohio to Austin. So we kind of claim them as a Texas band now. And the album, it's beautifully enough, the album's called Arrow, and it comes out on Valentine's Day. So,
and this is a band called Heartless Bastards. So,
yes, yeah. That's great.
And the track is called Gotta Have Rock and Roll. Self-explanatory, it seems to me.
And no, whenever you're feeling down, well,
that is the group Heartless Bastards, Gotta Have Rock and Roll, off of their forthcoming record called Arrow, which comes out next week on Valentine's Day. And they will be here in New York playing at Webster Hall on February 24th. And once again, Jeannie Mascoro picking the hits for us on Soundcheck today with her pick three.
Thank you.
So Heartless Bastards, bit of a track record there. Who is Ryan Thomas Becker and the Last Joke Band? This is a new one on us.
Okay, Ryan Thomas Becker is an artist out of Denton, which is about 40 miles north of Dallas. It's a college town. It's known mostly for the jazz school up at the University of North Texas. Mm-hmm. But they have this really vibrant music scene that's been going on for about the past 15, 20 years.
Well, Brave Combo is from Denton, Texas.
They certainly are. Brave Combo, friends of KXT, yeah.
And so Ryan Thomas Becker is part of that scene?
He is, and he reminds me a little bit of Jack White in that he has his hands in a lot of different musical projects, whether it's playing with a, you know, an assortment of bands or producing bands. And he has a folk band called Hairs on the Mountain. He plays with another band called Satans of Soft Rock. And
wait a minute, what was that? Satans of Soft Rock?
Satans of Soft Rock.
Oh,
that's
I like
right.
that.
And he has this great duo called RTB2, where he plays with this guy named Grady Don Sandlin. It's just Ryan Thomas Becker and Grady Don Sandlin, the duo. And you wouldn't think, okay, these two guys can make so much beautiful noise, but they do. So now Ryan Thomas Becker is teamed up with not just Grady Don Sandlin, but two other guys for a quartet called The Last Joke Band.
Mm-hmm.
And this song is called No Time Lover.
Well, it's the third of Jeannie Mascaro's pick three for us this week, along with B-Mon and Heartless Bastards, whom we've already heard. Jeannie is a morning host and music coordinator for KXT in Dallas, Texas. And Jeannie, thanks so much for being with us on Soundcheck today.
John, thank you. This has been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me here.
This is Soundcheck. Ryan Thomas Becker in The Last Joke Band with No Time Lover. Still to come, Bahamas. You will not need the sunscreen and shades for this Bahamas, though. The Canadian band with the tropical name joins us in studio for a live performance next on Soundcheck. And speaking of live performances, today we announce our next show in the Green Space, our ground floor performance venue here at WNYC. Pianist Robert Glasper brings hip-hop and jazz together on his new release called Black Radio. He'll be with us on Monday, February 27th, live in the Green Space with special guest, the Grammy-nominated hip-hop artist Bilal. You can be there too. Robert Glasper and Bilal on Monday, February 27th, live at 2 p.m. Visit wnyc.org/soundcheck for tickets.
Living the single life to my last breath. I know I found someone to fulfill all my
time means so much if all I hear is you, sweet touch. And so it goes, and so it goes.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Paul David Hewson became Bono. James Osterberg Jr. became Iggy Pop. And when Afi Yervinen set out to record his own music, he became Bahamas. A few years after playing on Leslie Feist's 2007 hit record, The Reminder, the Canadian guitarist put out his first album, which was nominated for two of Canada's biggest music awards, the Juno and the Polaris Prize. Today, he releases his sophomore album. It's called Bar Chords, and we'll get to hear some of it live in the studio. This is Bahamas with a song called Lost in the Light, live on Soundcheck.
I'm lost in the light. I pray for the night to take me, to take you to. After so many words, still nothing's heard. Don't know what we should do. And if someone could see me now, let them see you. Was my greatest thrill when we just stood still You let me hold your hand till I had my fill. And even counting sheep don't help me sleep. I just toss and turn right there beside you. And if someone could see me now, let them see you. Let them see you. See you through all those hard things we've all gotta do. 'Cause this life is long, so you wouldn't be wrong. Being free, leaving me on my own. Ah. Said some awful things, I take them all back. If we would try again, and just remember when, before we were lovers, I swear we were friends. So if someone could see me now, let them see you. Let them see you. All those hard things we've all gotta do. 'Cause this life is long, so you wouldn't be wrong. Being free, leaving me on my
is Bahamas live on Soundcheck with a song called Lost in the Light from the new Bahamas record called Bar Chords, but again, a live performance here in the Soundcheck studio. Bahamas is Afi Yervanen, who sings, writes the songs, plays the guitar, Carly Akins and Felicity Williams doing backing vocals. Afi, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Good. Let's talk about names. I mean, Afi, I don't know where that comes from. Yervanen is a Finnish name, right?
That's right, yeah.
And is Afi short for something?
It's not short for anything. It's of my mother's mind. You know, it's a concoction of the deepest recesses of her mind.
And when it came time to get out on stage, you took mom's imagination and shoved it to the side and went to the Bahamas.
Well, yeah, I mean, as anybody with a weird name knows, it's like it can be difficult, you know, coming up with a weird name.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of got used to it, but the idea of just repeating that over and over again in a loud bar didn't, you know, appeal to me.
Right.
And the word Bahamas conjures up some nice images for me.
It also makes searching for you on the internet a very difficult proposition.
That's kind of by design. You know, my manager is not crazy about that aspect of the name, but you know, I kind of like making it slightly difficult for people. I understand that when you're a new artist, it's not the best idea, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Bar Chords, spelled B-A-R, as if you were in a dark bar.
Mm-hmm.
A bar chord, B-A-R-R-E, is a pretty standard way of playing the guitar. Although I noticed you didn't use any bar chords in that first song.
No, but you'll get a whole heck of a lot of them in the next song. But no, I didn't use any in the first song.
So why that name?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just sort of a, you know, a reference and acceptance to my, you know, my past as a guitar player. And also, they just kind of symbolize this really simple, direct way of playing the guitar, and they're used in so many different types of genres,
mm-hmm.
and you know, everybody kind of always comes back to them, and I guess that's what I'm always trying to do in my own songs, is kind of get to the simplest way to get the song across. And so, yeah, I don't know. I kind of think that that word sort of sums up the record in a nice, mm-hmm. simple way. You know?
For folks who are not guitarists, a bar chord is when you take your index finger and sort of slam it down across all six strings.
Yeah, you basically just leave your fingers in the same position and move them around up the neck, you know. So when you're first starting to play guitar, it's among the first things that you would do.
And it's one of the first reasons that people give up trying to learn how to play the
guitar. Yeah, it's pretty difficult, but it's worth the effort.
Yeah. So, and your first record was called Pink Strat, you know, reference to Stratocaster guitars. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, guitar is very much part and parcel of who you are as a performer. You worked with Leslie Feist. Now you're working on your own. Do you see yourself as a guitarist first? Did the songwriting and the singing come after, or was that there all along?
It was always there. You know, I think that for many years I kind of, I say I got distracted, but I mean, it was a welcome distraction to play in other people's. Yeah, and you know, a lot of other people's bands, and more or less spent sort of 10 years playing in other people's music, you know. Mm-hmm. But the whole time, had bands of my own and wrote my own songs and things like that. But really the last few years I've just sort of said no to going out with other people, and it's allowed me the time to sort of expand upon, you know, my musical mind more beyond just playing guitar.
We're speaking with Afi Yurvinen, the band Bahamas, performing here in the studio for us today and here in New York tonight at Mercury Lounge at 7 o'clock. The new album out today is called Bar Chords, and Afi promises us a lot of bar chords in this next song. This is Caught Me Thinking.
That's right.
All right, it's Bahamas live on Soundcheck.
Started before we parted, I would wonder what could make her stay. What was I thinking? As if my drinking was the only thing that drove her away. Was it ambition or war of attrition? Honey, you can always stick it out. Now I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, it's my fault. Got me thinking, what it might be like to be alone for a while, or alone for just one night. I share my feelings, you hit the ceiling, I couldn't shake it if I tried. You were my lover, only to discover something inside me had died. Was it ambition or a war of attrition? Honey, you can always stick it out. Now I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, it's my fault. Me thinking what it might be like to be alone for a while, or alone for just one night.
song's called Caught Me Thinkin', a live performance by Bahamas here in the Soundcheck studio. Afi Yervinen playing guitar and singing, Carly Akins and Felicity Williams doing the backing vocals. That song also appears on the new Bahamas record called Bar Chords. Afi, would you say that, I mean, there's this long tradition of the breakup album. Are you kind of riffing on that idea a little bit with this record?
Yeah, some other people are calling this record a breakup album. I'm calling it my second album. But yeah, there are those themes in there. You know, there's some sort of dark themes in there, but it doesn't leave me feeling that way. It sort of leaves me feeling optimistic. So yeah, it's a positive record for me, you know, and I hope for other people too.
It has the sounds as sort of echoes of the kind of large body of music that these days we'd just call Americana. But at the very end of that song, you know, it almost looks back to the pop music of the, I don't know, the 1940s or 50s, you know, the jazz chord voicing on the guitar and the, you know, the kind of unexpected landing point at the end of the song.
Sure.
Do you listen to that stuff?
Absolutely.
Too?
I mean, Sam Cooke's, you know, a big hero of mine, and I mean, it's even just the singing, you know, the idea of having two-part harmony as very much like a consistent instrument in the band is, you know, a conscious decision and probably pulling from, you know, music of that period for sure.
Then there's a song called I Got You Babe, which is not what you would think from that title. Not a Sonny and Cher cover, but another original song. You want to play it for us?
Yeah, well, gladly. I mean, it's more of a rockin' affair on the record, but, you know, we'll do it here with the acoustic guitar, kind of a folk version.
All right, it's from the band Bahamas.
I sang loud, my voice cut through the crowd, as if I were anybody that might have something to say. Standing tall, I seemed, I know it all, but the only thing I know is that I never known someone like you. I'm gonna figure out how it is. I got you. I got you, babe. And I held you. I lost you. Time stood still and I'd had my fill of all the things we did and all the things we could have done. Now looking back, might you cut me some slack for all the times I left you when I should have stayed right by your side. I'm gonna figure out how it is. I got you. I got you, babe. And I held you. I lost you. I lost you.
The band is Bahamas, live on Soundcheck with an original song called I Got You, Babe. Afi Yervinen, guitar and vocals, Carly Akins and Felicity Williams backing vocals. Playing tonight here in New York at the Mercury Lounge at 7 o'clock, the Canadian band's new album out today is called Bar Chords. I mentioned, Afi, your first record was called Pink Strat. Do you own and play a Pink Stratocaster?
I do own it, and I played it for many, many years on a lot of different recordings, and you know, it was with me for a long time, but these days I jokingly say that it sits in a glass case underneath my bed.
As well it might. So yeah. Just touring you and the acoustic.
Yeah, for now. My drummer's wife is very, very pregnant. She's due any day, so her and this record are coming out at the same time. So he's on the Bahamas Pat Leaf program for this week.
Well, good luck. Yeah. And Afi, thanks so much for joining us on Soundcheck
today. Thank
you.
Thanks very much.
That's going to do it for today's program. Tomorrow, the Grammys are set to bestow a Lifetime Achievement Award on the late singer, writer, and poet Gil Scott-Heron. We'll take a look back at his life and work. Plus, the Irish pop band The Cranberries have reunited, and they'll join us in studio for a live performance. And I hope you'll join us in our quest to find the ultimate super collector for our upcoming editions of Soundcheck. Do you have a massive collection of music-related stuff, concert tees, memorabilia, magazines, rare instruments? If you're a super collector or know someone who is, fill out our nomination form on the webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck. Our technical director is Irene Trudell, the program produced by Katie Bishop and Greta Cohn. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer. I'm John Schaefer. From Bahamas and the new album, this song is called Snowplow, wrapping up Soundcheck.
Gave me a love so pure.